the moment, but we can get started for all the things that we're going to vote on. Dr. Nielsen?
Heavenly Father, as we look to the completion of another academic year and our spring 2024 semester, let us acknowledge the dedication and hard work of our students, faculty, and staff. May their efforts be recognized and celebrated, for they have enriched our college community with their commitment to learning, growth, innovation, and community engagement. May our conversations this evening continue to guide and support the future of our college. In your name we pray.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we do have public comment.
All right. All right, we have one person that would like to speak to the board in public comment. Jennifer Beeslin.
Yay.
Do I have to speak on the
address? If you wouldn't mind, please.
All right.
I know, Jennifer.
Are you timing me with my name and address, too?
No, but I've got to get there.
There you go. Okay, so my name's Jennifer Beeslin. My address is 3621 Avenida Madeira. Time? Okay, so I'm a faculty member. I'm the speech communication coordinator at the college. I've been here for going on 18 years, and I'm also the UFF State College of Florida chapter president, union president. I'm here today to share what I learned in a survey that the bargaining team did to our in-unit faculty, which includes members and non-members alike, and I'm here to share some of what I learned, what we learned in the survey. So some of the questions that we asked our faculty is, how has the increase in the cost of living impacted you? Just so you know, 65% of the faculty responded to this, like I said, in-unit members, non-members. So to answer that question, also one of the questions asked, do you receive any form of public assistance? And three faculty members do receive public assistance. Some of them are on food stamps, and some also have to go to food banks to get groceries, to get food. So when asked how has the increase of the cost of living impacted you, one faculty member said, had to sell our only car and rely on the food bank. We were also evicted due to the inability to pay rent. Another faculty member, we are living paycheck to paycheck and our savings has been depleted. Keep in mind, all of these faculty, there isn't one single faculty that isn't teaching an overload. An overload is above and beyond their normal load. So we have a 5-5 load. Many of our faculty are teaching 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 overloads per semester. Some have to get approval over here from Dr. Fritsch to be able to do that, but they have to do it, all of them, to pay their bills. Number one, they said the reason why they're doing it is to be able to pay their bills. Another one said, yes, I'm getting ready to move for the second time in 4 years due to not being able to afford the continual increase in rent. I've also had to reduce the amount I spend on groceries. I haven't taken a vacation since the pandemic. And at this point, I'm seriously considering leaving this job for another state where life is more affordable. I'm finding it difficult to pay my bills and keep up with my responsibilities as a professor. I'm having to take out loans against my retirement accounts to pay for graduate courses. The lack of connection or limited connections is weighing on me as my parents are aging and I cannot build core memories with my nieces and nephews because I am working all the time. My homeowner's insurance and taxes continue to rise each year. The last pay increase did not begin to cover just the raise in homeowner's insurance. Within the next year, I will be forced to consider leaving the State College of Florida. The math just does not work out. Groceries are so expensive. I have 2 children. We easily spend $350 to $400 on groceries every 2 weeks. We both want to stay here in Bradenton. We're from Bradenton, but we're having a hard time finding a house in a safe neighborhood with what we can afford. The cost of living continues to go up, and our salaries do not keep up. Homeowners insurance has tripled in the last 4 years. How does this end? Does the admin care about us? That is the message that I would like to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I know.
All right, if there's no other public comment, we'll be moving on to the President's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a very busy week.
Starting tomorrow, we have painting ceremonies for our physical therapy assistance program and for our dental hygiene program. Thursday, we have a painting ceremony for our occupational therapy assistance program and our high school graduation for our Venice Collegiate School kids at 7 p.m. on the Venice campus, if anybody is interested in going. And then Friday. Friday is a busy day. Friday starts at 10 o'clock with both our walkthrough ceremony for graduates who are not coming to one of the more formal ones, but also with our Bradenton Collegiate School graduation, followed by our nursing pinning at 1 o'clock in the Neal Auditorium, and then our two commencement ceremonies at 4:30 and 7. I'd like to say thank you to the trustees who are choosing and can join us for those commencement ceremonies, but you are welcome to join for any of these celebratory opportunities that we have during the course of this week. It's going to be very exciting. At our 7 p.m. graduation ceremony, we have our outstanding graduating student speaking. His name is Braden, and he's an incredibly interesting young man who's overcome quite a lot of adversity to be where he is today. And at our 4:30 ceremony, our student-selected outstanding faculty member is Dr. Andy Swanson, and he will be speaking about him. So I hope you'll be able to join us for these events. And like I said, any or all that you'd like to come to, we'd love to have you there. That's what's going on this week, Mr. Chair, and that's my report.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Prostel. And now we have the mission moment with Dr. Hale and Dr. Nielsen. And we don't have a quorum, so you guys can just take your time. Yep, I said it.
No, you can't.
I'm on the clock.
It's too late.
It's
on the clock.
Take a little extra time looking for it.
That's right. That's enough time.
Hey, don't push it.
I was just looking at it. I'm going to go over the enrollment update. Most of these numbers are for the fall numbers, and then and some of what Brittany will try to be sharing is from the spring efforts. So we're going to look at some trends, and we usually look at some student retention and persistence, and then some other student success measures. Historically, the enrollment has been able to be tracked really closely using unemployment. Even between our number and using even statewide unemployment numbers, for years you can look at the enrollment and predict it almost perfectly, and then COVID came along and kind of threw a monkey wrench in that. Currently, I'd say we're pretty close to where that is, getting back to a level where it will be somewhat predictive, but we're kind of about as low as unemployment goes, so we're not really seeing those increases yet, although as unemployment stays down there, our enrollment is beginning to tick upward, which is a good sign. So fall revenue generating credit load, once again, heading in the right direction, as low as in fall 21. Came up slightly last fall and even more this fall. Really encouraging. And our average class size this past fall is coming back. We're looking back. It's starting to look more like we did in fall of 19, which is our last pre-COVID fall. The persistence and retention numbers are a little bit different. I'm often asked where do we compare nationally. So this time I put national trend numbers up here as well. The two blue numbers at the top are the persistence from fall to spring. You'll see that our number is much higher than the national number. I'm not sure I have a terrific explanation for this other than, you know, we put a lot of resources into those students right away to make sure they have opportunities to be successful and can do that from fall to the spring. And then by the next number, set of numbers, which is the blue or the green and the gray, that's from fall to fall. And our numbers there are just slightly higher than the national average. Our numbers make a little more sense than the national. So if you look, we have about just under 80% of our students are here from fall to spring. And then if you take about 80% of that number, comes around to the other side, just under 60% are here for us from fall to fall. So we retain about the same percentage from term to term. The national number, they don't retain as well during that first transition, but then by the fall, they kind of catch up to us. And you'll see that the two national numbers are a little bit behind, and we won't have the fall-to-fall number, obviously, until the fall.
Look at all those happy faces.
Oh, you had to show up.
So now we're happy.
Sorry about that.
Dr. Hale, the national numbers are pulling. What's the
Is it a community colleges or?
National Student Clearinghouse is a data repository of all the educational data. And we queried the national, well, in this case, I pulled one of their reports and then looked through the appendices to find the numbers.
I guess my question is that including four-year university?
No, it is not. This is all two-year.
Wrap it up.
Whoa. I want you to go back.
Do that too. Course completions for a 10th were also up this fall. You do see that kind of goes up and down. It's a little bit at the higher end of our range, but we're always pretty consistent here. And then the gender numbers. I think this one, I've been bringing it for a little while now. Not sure that it needs to be included. It seems pretty stable. Just a little under 2/3 female, a little over 1/3 male. Kind of keeping steady over time. Any questions? Any other questions?
The class size, what's the ideal class size that we want to achieve?
That's a good question. I think it depends on what mode the class is being taught in and what classes are being taken. Online, Dr. Fritsch, they have a smaller cap?
Yeah, we standardized the class sizes a year or so ago to try to provide some increases because there were some discrepancies between online and face-to-face.
So,
how many students do we have enrolled right now?
8,500?
About 8,500.
I was going to say around 8,000 somewhere. And is that up from last year? Yes, headcount is up. Any other questions?
All right, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit to talk about our current spring semester and do some highlights. Going through some of our spring specific enrollment that we're talking about, and yes, we did see an increase as well. And then some of the other areas with student services and enrollment management. You've seen this before. This is the profile that I typically pull together. And you can see with enrollment, that was spring 2023. Here's where we are as of March 5th. So we did see, I think we averaged about 3% up over the year. So that is really good increase. We are continuing to project small increases. Our top counties that we've talked about before, of course, Manatee, Sarasota, we are seeing more come from Manatee, but we also hit Charlotte and Hillsborough counties as well. Race demographics, so overall student enrollment, we are continuing to see really close to the Hispanic serving institution designation, which is 25%, so we are still continuing to see that. Black student population has sat right around 9-10%. That is stable, slightly down from what we've seen, and then our other populations as well. Our age group, I like to send a reminder because most of the time when we start to talk about enrollment management, we typically think of our traditional high school students. We have far array of students in our population, including 195 that are 50 plus. So again, this is something our team focuses on because we oversee the marketing, the communication, and we want to make sure that it is including our non-traditional age students, especially when you're looking at 29, 22 group. That's a big population that we need to make sure that we are talking to and not saying, have a conversation with mom and dad. I mean, you can if you want, but perhaps you don't want to.
Again?
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Brittany.
I know, I was like, I will talk about as we're going through.
Here.
Oh, that's interesting. There we go. If you want to just click through, I can do it this way.
Which one?
Where we go up a little more? Up right there. Graduation. That's the next one. There we go. So winter graduation. As we come up to As we come up to graduation on Friday, I just want to highlight what we saw in the fall. We're going to just...
We're just going to leave it like that.
Yep. So in the fall for our grad walk, we saw 80-plus students go through the non-traditional ceremony. That will be from 9 to 11, and we have 66 and 59. This Friday, we have 150-plus students signed up for the grad walk to go through the non-traditional. The 4:30, we have 118 graduates, and for 7 p.m., we have 113 graduates. So it is vastly different. If you've been with us in the fall, the spring is always a little bit bigger, more robust, especially with the pinning occurring and our collegiate school in the morning. So we are really, really excited about our graduation ceremony. Just want to highlight our student support services. I talk about this quite often. This is something that some of our student fees goes towards, mental health, homelessness. And right here from fall to spring, we had 348 students of concern. From fall to just January, we had already spiked and saw 151. Now, this is good. These are training opportunities that our faculty, our staff, and others can submit student of concern reports or indicate that a student is in need. So if they have an emergency fund that they need some information, we have Crosby Counseling, so they have services available on all three campuses. So that is an area I always like to highlight where we see and we can track and report what kinds of concerns are coming in and also how many we are seeing. Another area that we have seen a spike in. Yes?
Can I interrupt? So,
of course.
And then once those concern reports come in, what happens?
So our student support services team, which is underneath Dean Jackie McNeil, they are assigned the ticket, they are assigned the case, and then our team responds to it. So if it's homelessness, we're making sure they have community resources. If it's a mental health concern, we are connecting them with Crosby Counseling Services. Food insecurities, we're getting them the resources they need. But then we can track it, we can send the communications, we can close the case, and then we can monitor. So if we're seeing a student on a regular basis, there are other resources that we need to get into place. And then that goes right in hand in hand with our academic success.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a software program called MaxBeat. That also runs all of our conduct cases as well. All right, another area that we are seeing increased utilization in, we can click on the next one, Susan, thank you, is our Tutoring and Academic Success Center. We call it TAS. The areas that we see in there are listed on the left and our modes of delivery. In the fall, we delivered over 4,400 tutoring sessions, and that was to over 900 students. Many of our students will utilize it in different ways. One of the areas that has grown, two areas, is the Florida Civic Literacy Exam. That is an exam that they have to take in order to be able to graduate. We've created workshops, skills courses, online platforms so students can prep and successfully pass that exam. We've also created workshops around the T's, which are our completion of our nursing student program. So those are areas that we are seeing an increase. Most of our tutors are 10 months, and we have provided some student fees to have them join us again in the summer because the need is there, which is really good. The last few that I'm going through, just want to highlight on the next one, Susan. This is just a sample of the recruitment and outreach efforts that we are doing. You will see it is very diverse. This year in February, we had our counselor breakfast. It was the highest attended, 60 counselors. Here's the breakfast here. From Manatee and Sarasota came for half a day. They met with program managers, the academic department. They toured the campus. They received all of the admissions updates and information, and they were able to meet with us and engage on the campus. But you can go through, we've had so many tours come to the campus. We're seeing it expand, which is great. I think this is the post-COVID, let's bust them out and get them going. But then other important ones we've been doing. If you look at the ESOL, we have our enrollment staff that are bilingual, so we can give presentations in Spanish and English, which has been beneficial for State College of Florida to be there and to connect with all of those families. So that was just a sample of what we're doing. And then a couple slides on our marketing. If you've seen it around on social media, the one up on the left-hand corner, that is in UTC. So if you've been to UTC, if you've been across from Lululemon, that is our billboard there. So we are expanding into new areas. This is a video down here of the nursing department. And with the nursing, the video was running some data. We've had over 954,000 impressions on that video through iHeartMedia. So just a sample of some of the things that you may see out. And then the second one, you will see a little bit more of a darker flavor, but it pops. If you've seen this pop up on social media, it stands out against all other types of ads in marketing areas. So we're pretty excited about that. And the last piece I just want to talk about, I've talked about this before, is our hashtag Get Hired series. We had our career fair on campus, and we also had our mock interviews. So our OTA and our PTA students came. They did mock interviews where they received critiques and criticisms and feedback and all the great things to say, here's what you need to know as you go out and interview. We also had community members come in. They were able to do a mock interview and go meet with potential career options at the fair. So it was a full, robust collaboration that took place in 26 last. So those are some of our spring highlights. Any questions?
I do have one. Like, before all the problems with the projector, there was the first screenshot, if you can go back to the very first, where it talks about the number of males and females.
Oh, that one. There you go.
Up at the top, 2,900 males, 5,000 females. I mean, is that because of our nursing programs, or why is such a stark difference between male and female?
That's just the, it's been our average for the last 6 years.
It's all over higher ed. And
guys don't go to school anymore?
No. And that is the answer. Nationally, that's
straight to work.
About the same.
So
that's terrible.
Yeah, there you go. There, thank you. That's
it's
reflective.
And we look back when, I think it was 70s or early 80s, I think, when the number of females in higher ed passed the number of males, so it's just been increasing ever since.
Hmm. Is that because, like, trades? Like, you know, we talked about trades. People are going into trades faster.
Yes, I know. I mean, if you get the Wall Street Journal, there's an advertisement every day. Mm-hmm. The picture of a young man that talks about quality should be measured by paper, and it's about getting a skill. And the particular one right there is about getting a programming certificate.
So if you notice the one that's in UTC,
there's a guy. I saw it. Yeah, I figured it out.
You're trying to look at different avenues and pathways to combat.
I just thought it was an interesting statistic.
Yeah. Any other questions?
We're not ignoring it, Ryan. We are aware of it, and we have done a couple of different things throughout the years to try and reach out more deliberately to males, looking at the programs we're offering and how we might specifically target those programs to our male population.
Especially from like a business point of view, you know, from business courses to different economics.
That's right. Yes.
All right. Next up we have... approval of the non-financial consent agenda. Is there anything that needs to be pulled?
I have a question about C. Do you want to pull it or vote on it? I'm trying to vote.
Let's go ahead and ask the question.
On page 13, we have, you're asking us to pass on these changes to this curriculum of these courses, 65 of them in total. I assume most of them are just, can you give us an example of what we're dealing with here is under the word change?
Want to answer that? There's been an initiative to update at the statewide level the general education core requirements to
to align both the state university system and the Florida college system, general education core, to be exactly the same. And so this is reflective of that mandate from the state that we all get on the same page.
Oh, I got you. Okay. So that's 99% of this stuff?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When a change comes to us, it's not from the state. Does it come from the professor saying, I want to teach a different book, or?
Generally, it would be either a programmatic change. So on page 11 at the top, you'll see program revisions. That will be the faculty trying to keep that content current. Program deletions, we've got a couple in there. We just have been trying to get students in some programs, and we haven't had students for a number of years, so it just made sense this time to delete those programs. But generally, that's driven by the faculty who are looking to keep their content current so that we can be as attractive as we need to be and make sure that students are realizing the outcomes they need to get the jobs they're trying to get.
Okay. And again, when the state gives us X, Y, and Z we have to do, then how do we get that message to the professors?
So the professors are the ones involved in that. We receive, like, this state general education core revision came from the top down, and then we get it out to everybody in those disciplines, and they work at the departmental level to get that work done. We have a curriculum development review committee at the college level, and all the faculty sit on that.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion.
For a second. There's a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Next, approval of financial consent agenda. Does anything need to be pulled or discussed? Or pulled? I guess since it's consent. Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Chris.
Items for tonight requiring board action. Five of them are approving construction contracts for GMPs, and then the sixth one is a budget increase approval. The GMP on this is under the 325, so you won't see a contract for approval. Most of these projects are part of the $8.2 million that we got from the state for deferred maintenance, and we've bundled a whole lot of little efforts into these projects. Most of them are summer. We got about 21 projects that we're going to take for about $4.5 million. It's the most amount of work that we've ever attempted to go after in the summer. And without our CMs at the table, there's no way on earth we would even attempt it, from an impact to academics, to safety, to faculty, staff, and students. So it's a big load down the road you go. First is my board memos on page 176 of the board packet. And then part of the $8.2 million, this is building 17,29,500. This is an upgrade for the glazing windows, glass doors. I'm just going to make this statement for all of these and then we'll circle back around. So for all six of these projects, the board has provided prior approval. The CMs we're using are part of our on-calls, which we selected through the CCNA process. They advertised all these projects, got competitive subcontractor bidding, we negotiated general conditions, staff have evaluated their overhead and their fee on each of these. So we had a budget of 1.270, and we got a GMP of $1,160,000. So I'm looking for board approval contract with John Swift for $1,160,000.
Chris, for people who don't know what building 1729 and 500 are, can you shed light on those?
Yeah, so 17 is the gym. 29 is nursing, and 500 is the student union at best.
Chris, GMP, remind me what that academic.
That's a guaranteed maximum price for custom construction contract.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Thank you. The next one is building 300. That's the library at Venice. This is again addressing deferred maintenance, but it's a remodel of the auditorium, the lobby, and the restrooms going into that building. It's been 8 years since we remodeled the interior space of it. Dr. P commented on how glorious that space looks right now. It is vintage 1985, and it is in great need of upgrade. So we're excited about this one. $9 budget, GMP came in at $917,000. So requesting board approval of contract with John Swift Construction for the 917.
There's a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
On the same line, this is powered by roof coating. Again, the third one we've got with John Swift. We've got 8 years rolled into this project. On grade 10, it's 5, 7, 11, 19, 23, 27, and then on 300 at Venice. We've got a budget of $1.5 million. Those roofs came in at $874. There's one roof that's not on here, that's building one. That's going to be a full tear-off with a built-up roof system. Swift is out currently getting bidding on that particular project. I'll bring that back to the team board, and that'll make up the difference of the budget there. So for this one, other than building one, I'm looking for approval of the contract with John Swift to $874,254.35.
Do we need to wait on it?
For building one?
Yeah.
No, we want to get going before the rainy season. We'll just back off on building one and come hit that back in the fall.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Thank you. So this one's coming out of our CIF fund, not the $8.2 million. But again, addressing deferred maintenance. This is addressing roof issues on 17 and 29 and the flooring in the corridors of building 6. We've kind of got a hybrid of scope work here. We had a $450,000 budget. That means it's $351,716. 42 cents. So looking for approval to contract with Camden Construction for 351,716 and 42 cents.
What's CIF fund?
CIF? That's the student fee fund.
Capital improvement.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
The next one is site improvements, and this is an area development project, an area we haven't touched certainly since 11 years I've been here. That's the area between the north side of building one, south side of the math building, the west side of the nursing. So there's a full corridor and a little quad area, full Chattahoochee Pebble that's busted up concrete. You got seating that's not accessible. It's just going to be a really much needed project to address one area of campus on the Bradenton that we haven't touched. So excited about this one. We have a $708,000 budget, and it's been in 524,753.09. So looking for board approval to contract the tandem for 524,753.09.
Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Okay, the last one I've got is building 14, the student union flooring. The board previously approved this project. The budget in October of last year was $200,000. Design was completed. Obtained competitive bids. They got 9 bids from flooring subcontractors. and their construction DMP came in at $320,000. We got a construction budget of $185,321, so the $200 less the design fee and pre-construction fee, so we're $134,679 short. We contribute to an extensive amount of floor preparation that's got to take place, a whole lot of grinding, floor leveling, sealing the cracks. There's a whole lot of furniture in the dining room that didn't account for the amount of disassembly that's got to take place to move the furniture out of there. And then we made a very conscious decision to spec the highest quality products for this space, the mortar, the porcelain tile, the grout we're going to use. We're going to use ceramic base versus vinyl base. And at the end of the day, it's just going to produce a longer lasting, better looking product, and we'll get our payback over the years. So requesting board approval to increase the budget from the $200,000 to $334,679. And this is coming out of CIF, and we'll give adequate fund balance for this.
On all the other projects, it seemed like we were a good bit under budget.
Correct.
So move.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion passes. Thank you, Chris. All right, moving on to old business. Is there any old business? Seeing none, move on to new business. Mike.
I have some new business. So the foundation, just as a reminder, I'm the liaison with the foundation. So the foundation, in their most recent board meeting, voted to name the library and learning center after Dr. P here. And also in doing so, to not change a rule, but to waive a rule of a one-year wait. And so we need this board to approve by motion to ratify that decision by the foundation.
To, on the policy change, on the policy itself.
Well, on the naming.
On the naming
on
and
the naming
we're waiving a one-year
You're waiving wait. That's your guys doing, and then we were gonna vote on the renaming.
So you've already waived the 1 year?
Yeah.
We did.
Okay. So you have a motion that says what?
Do you have something written, Mr. Bowery?
I don't. I can come up with something off the top of my head, which would be...
Go ahead.
Would the board entertain approval of the renaming of the Library and Learning Center after Dr. Probstfield? The board has to approve all naming events. So what's before you is a recommendation from the foundation. It's kind of the way it works. The foundation is kind of in charge of naming opportunities. It's usually in a commercial fashion as opposed to an honorary fashion. But the foundation board elected to, in this case, waive a requirement that there be a one-year wait. So they're asking for your approval to rename the Library and Learning Center without that 1 year wait after Dr. P.
Is that your motion?
So moved.
What he said.
I get paid by the word sometimes.
I guess I'll second that. Is there discussion?
Do I get my cords?
All different issue, Ryan.
I'll give you a cord. It may not be the one you want.
Well, I would say Dr. Prouty, yes.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Prouty, yes.
My mother would be so proud.
It is commercial in a way. It was 22 years of
absolutely
hard sweat, tears, and
right.
love, right?
Absolutely. It's just that Cassandra didn't have to pull out her Chinese menu of prices for room and door and name. She didn't have to do that.
Ice bitter.
All right. Any other discussion?
Yes, well deserved. Yep. Sorry,
all right, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Motion passes. Is there any other new business?
Oh,
comments. Let's start with you, Mark.
In your packets today, for the only time you'll have it every year, is a complete financial on the entire organization as a whole. I urge, it's on page 95, I urge each of you to review that in depth. I had a number of questions. Julie was kind enough to take me aside and help my dumb self through. It's interesting reading if you get into it. So I strongly suggest that not only that you read it, look at it, maybe tear it out and keep it for next year to compare it. I think something important. I ask, and Chris gave to me a summation of capital projects that we've done over the last 3 years, which is how long I've been here. I did it to make sure that we were distributing between our four major contractors equally, which we are. And we're trying to bring out a fifth one on, or a fourth one on, so three, and bring another one on as we speak. But this college has produced $30,428,000 worth of work in 3 years. That's a staggering amount by anybody, any institution, period. We should be commended for getting it done. And it would never have been done the old way. It had to be done under the way we've made the changes 2 or 3 years ago on. But on top of that, Chris is, and all his fellows and staff members have to really work hard to coordinate, put out for bid, get all these folks together. I mean, this is a monumental task that they do every day, and they should be commended from this board. $30 million, that is a lot of work for an institution this size. So anyway, I wanted to bring that to you. Thank you.
How much over the last 7 years?
I don't know.
Because I have 4 years on you.
I asked, by the way, as a comment, I guess, was there any way we could take some of this money and move it to salaries or whatever? And the answer is, legally, we cannot do any of that. So I tried it one time and did it, but I bring it up because of our discussion earlier on. Anyway, thank you.
Two quick notes from the foundation. Cassandra and team, as of April 24th, their revenue for the fiscal year just shy of $2.7 million, which is about $760,000 greater than the same time last year. So, great work. And we have we voted in a new director this past meeting, Diane Weaver, Sarasota County resident, 30 years experience in property and casualty. She's the president of Interwoven Claim Management Group. And she's from Michigan, but been here in Sarasota since 2016. So she seemed to be very enthusiastic. We're glad to have her on the foundation board. It's always good to get new blood. So that's the news from the foundation.
Okay. Tom?
I don't know.
No. All right. Ryan?
No news.
I was just going to say also on Chris that it kind of stood out because the last one was over. And it just made me realize how much I take for granted how we always come in under. And honestly, I'm not savvy enough to know if that's because we're super conservative with our original budgeting.
Yeah, right.
But all I know is that from this side of it, voting consistently on them coming in under budget is a nice thing. So I got a feeling we're doing something right. Yep.
May I make a comment?
Yes.
I'd also like to brag on Chris and his team. Cassandra and I had the opportunity to bring a donor to campus who hadn't been here in decades. He's interested in potentially supporting our parish project and has substantial ability to do so, but he wanted to see how we maintain our facilities, how we build our projects, and he was very favorably impressed.
Nice.
With the beauty of the campus, how well-maintained the buildings were, the beautiful construction of the new buildings on campus. He left telling Cassandra and I both that we can let people know that he will indeed be supporting our parish project.
Awesome.
So thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
And your company for giving us something to do for the show.
And with that, meeting adjourned.
Wait.